Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. We're so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, go down, leave a review in iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. We do love those and they help a ton. They do. That's a free way of kind of helping us out. Another way of helping us out is to help our sponsors. So first of all, Dr. Dish, if you're thinking of getting a team that wants to shoot the ball better and consistently put that round ball into that cylinder, check out Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking for a one-stop shop, if you're looking to become a better basketball coach, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking to talk to me on a regular basis, right, James? Then you can become a teachhoops.com member, and I'll put you on the bat phone and we'll take care of your specific needs. So come over and check us out at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
Welcome to Coach Unplugged. All right, Adam. So I'm going to go on record that I'm not this guy walking down the street just talking about the shot clock, to be honest with you. But I think it's a great discussion. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of do counterpoint and talk about the shot clock. I'm going to take, you know, I don't think we need it shot clock. I'm going to take the anti. Adam's going to take the pro, and we're going to just have some discussion points. I'll throw something out there. He'll give me a counter. We'll have a discussion, and then we'll go on to the next point. All right. So here's going to be my first one. Are you a teacher, Adam?
I was a teacher for 8 years. Yeah, I don't teach anymore.
Okay. So my number one point is I have been a teacher for almost 30 years, and I have seen how the educational system has changed over 30 years. And I'm lucky if I can get white markers for my whiteboard. So I'm not putting these in any necessarily order of my strength or feelings, but I think expense is a really big issue for schools right now.
Yep.
So I think that's one of the reasons the National Association hasn't approved it, is because of expenses. I coach in Wisconsin. Since about 2011, we've been we lost collective bargaining. We lost all sorts of things, as far as teachers go. So the crunches we have felt it in Wisconsin. I think that's one of the reasons it got passed, and then it got unpassed basically because, the little schools found out we're looking at expense. We're looking at having to wire it. You know, my, if we're going to do it, and I told our ED, if we're going to do it, we better mount it because it can't really be on the floor. It's got to be on the
ground. No doubt. The back no doubt.
Because grandma will stand in front of it if it's on the floor, you know.
So true.
At that key point. And then, so I think that's one of the big, and expenses isn't necessarily a reason not to do it, but I think that's a reason that a lot of the reason it's only adopted in 8 or 9 states right now.
Yep.
And I think the ADs are worried about the recurring cost of, you know, hiring somebody. We have a hard enough time finding workers to work our games as it is.
Yep.
To find somebody to actually do it. Now, I don't know if there's a space issue in our school. We're even going to have a little bit of a space issue.
Okay.
With putting the scorer, the person, we have a board in our gym. So we have a big board. Mm-hmm. So the person that announces does the board, and then someone that does that. We always like to have the visiting people be able to keep their book at that. I don't even know if we're going to have room at the table for them when we eventually get it. Because I am convinced it's coming, but I'm gonna be the one fighting the battle to the end. So what's your feeling on expenses?
Well, a couple of things, and I appreciate you taking the time to have the discussion. I'm excited for it. I think the first thing that jumps out, I mean, you bring up the teacher example, which I think is an awesome example, being a former teacher. And the one thing I can maybe compare it to is when I first got into teaching back in 2001, it was the old guard of teachers who kept their grades in the grade book.
And, yes.
And then came this online grading. And there was so much resistance to the online grading that the old school teachers just said, I'm not going to do this. And eventually they were forced to.
Yep.
And then no one does a physical grade book anymore.
No.
And so change is really hard for people.
It is.
And
change is inevitable. I am convinced change is inevitable. I tell my students that all the time. The one thing about life is change is inevitable. Funny side stories. I kept my old grade books. I have them somewhere in a filing cabinet over here.
Yeah.
And Wesley Matthews, who plays for the Pacers now, was in class. I tease him all the time. I said, I still got your grade book. So be nice to me or I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to put it on Twitter or something.
Yeah. Those online grade books and the software that came with those, and those things were expensive. They weren't free.
They weren't.
Yet the school knew that it was the best interest of streamlining education to go that route. And so I just think expensive deal. I get it. Play clocks in football are expensive.
Do you think that we're lower on the food chain though?
Yes. Yeah. I just think you can keep, it's really easy to keep yelling it's too expensive.
Right.
I just think we have to be better than that. I think it's the best thing for the game. And so I think I have some ways that I think we can, in Iowa especially, that we can find a corporate sponsor for this. And we can put Casey's or U.S. Cellular's logo on every shot clock and get them to pay for them. I really believe we can find a way to find – and so that we can't – so that we can stop using the expense excuse.
I personally think the expense excuse is the weakest of all. In my personal opinion, okay. I do. I definitely agree with that. I am more worried – I am more worried about finding somebody to do it. I am worried about that. And then I am worried because I knew we were talking. I'm more worried about the person that's actually running it.
Yep. Yep.
Because it is a difficult. So I think that let's lead into that because it's kind of makes sense. Let's lead into the actual person running the shot clock.
Okay.
So let me talk about a couple things with this. I think just looking at the rules and I'll because the people are listening, you know, I don't know. There's probably 15 different rules, you know, when to reset, when to start, when not to reset. So that part of the problem, I think, is finding the person, finding someone that's really good at it. Because we have problems finding someone that's competent to run the clock alone, let alone the shot clock.
Yep.
And then this is kind of a side set of it, is I think it's really going to be hard on the officials.
Yeah.
Because these guys are accountants during the day, or they're mortgage brokers, or they're, you know, something else. They're doing this is their side gig.
Yep.
And they're not, and they don't have the instant replay. They don't have those things. And I have friends in Rhode Island and some other places around the country that have shot clocks.
Mm-hmm.
That there's usually two or three mistakes. They're just human errors that they don't know when to reset. And even though, I don't know if you have three officials, we have three officials.
We do.
It's really, really hard on them to be able to keep track of, not let alone whether the kids are hand checking or it's a charge or not. Now to worry about whether that ball hit the rim or stuff. This is probably my top five worries is maybe not even training the person, but the person and the officials being able to do that together is a worry. And again, that's maybe not a reason to do it, but I think there's going to be some, we're not NCAA. And this is just for me hearing other coaches around the country.
So as a high school coach, I was a head high school coach for 8 years before I went to the Division I level. And as a head high school coach, I was firmly against the shot clock. I have just come full circle. One of the reasons.
And where are you now? Hold on. Where are you now?
So I am just, I'm out of coaching. Actually, I volunteer at Cedar Falls High School as a varsity, just volunteer, come and go as I please.
That's the best gig in the house.
It's the best gig. I was an assistant women's coach at UNI for 8 years and had a great experience there. Was a head high school coach before that. And one of my jobs as an assistant coach, among many, was to recruit and retain student managers. And unlike men's basketball, there aren't people beating down the door to come be a women's basketball manager, right?
Right.
And so we had to find, most of the time it was young women to help volunteer their time and be a manager. And a lot of our volunteers didn't want to go into coaching like I did when I was a student manager at Iowa State.
Right.
And so they didn't know very much about basketball at all. And so at a college practice, you run the shot clock every possession of the practice. And so during practice, I would have to teach these managers to how to run the shot clock when they first started. And the first day or two, it was ugly. They would make mistakes. And by the second practice, you had these 18-year-old girls who had no sports experience whatsoever, and they were used to just carrying the water bottles. And by the seventh practice, they're doing fine. And I just think that
I think that's a lower worry than mine than the actual officials knowing that they made a mistake, that they got a reset.
The other point I might make, Steve, is that I was actually a head volleyball coach back in 2003.
Oh, wow. We have a lot in common. I coach boys volleyball.
Well, I've never even seen a boys volleyball match, but I got roped into it and I did it and it was great, but it was also the first year that Iowa had implemented several major volleyball changes in that they added the rally scoring. They went to playing to 25 and they added the libero.
Barrel. Oh God.
And so this is the first year of that. And at the time, all of the ADs kept talking about how are we going to find somebody to track the libero at the scores? We have hard enough time finding people to work. And yet, you know, 16 years later, they find somebody to track the libero.
But for being a volleyball coach, we literally have like one or two people in our entire building. Our school is 2,000.
Yep.
They can do it.
Yes.
Literally can do it. Yes. It is a relatively hard thing to do. Libero is a great thing. It allows a kid to play.
Yes.
But it's hard to find. That is a specialized thing. I don't even know if I feel comfortable doing that coach.
I can't do it.
I know. So that's where it's like, I told my AD, I said, when I get out, I'll maybe learn how to do that. It's one of those debates. I think everything has two sides.
Yeah.
I do. You know, and I'm going to go on to my next one that I think is the one that bothers me the most.
Okay.
And this is the one I see on Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, I think the things we've discussed already, you know, they're a wash. You know, you and I can argue. I hate when all these people on the world said we have to do it because the college does it. I don't think that's a reason to do it. Now, maybe we should do it, but because college is doing it, only 3% or 6% of our kids ever play collegiate basketball.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pound in calculus to them because kids take calculus in college. So I don't know if that's a valid argument on your side, people that use on your side for a reason to do it. What's your opinion on that?
I think you're onto something. My only counterpoint to that would be, I don't like using let's do it because the colleges are doing it. My point would be let's do it because high school basketball is the only level of high school American basketball, the only level of basketball in the world, actually probably in the universe, that doesn't use a shot clock. It really hit, like I talked about earlier, how I was a high school coach.
Right.
And against it. My second year at UNI, I went recruiting internationally. The only time I ever did it, I went to Montreal to watch a high school game. Now high schools at the Canadian level are a little bit different. They're actually more kind of like prep schools. But I went to this high school game in Montreal and I didn't know what to expect. I get there and internationally, these kids play FIBA rules from the time they're in fifth grade or whatever.
And it's 24, so, isn't it?
24 second shot clock, trapezoid lane, international FIBA 3-point line. And I might've gotten lucky and just happened to show up to watch two teams that played fast and all this stuff. But I watched that game and not only was it a great game, both teams played 10 players. But there was a situation, and this is just dumb luck, where a team was, I think, was down five with under a minute to go, and they had to play it out. And long story short, it went back and forth, whereas in Iowa or Wisconsin or wherever else doesn't have a shot clock, the fouling would have started with about 3 or 4 minutes to go to try and get back in the game. And, right. and that becomes borderline unwatchable, especially in the higher higher staked games in Iowa and Wisconsin, those types of states,
right.
Sub-state or regional finals, section finals, whatever you call them, at the state tournament on the bigger floor. Those games come to a screeching halt when there's so much at stake. And in this particular game, the team didn't foul because they didn't have to. They played it out. They got a stop. And I'm telling you, it was so much more fun to watch. Yeah. And that's when I first changed my mindset.
No, and I to be honest with you, that argument shifts me to your side on this specific thing. Yeah. I agree. I agree at the end of a game, the whole following thing is not the answer. I agree. So I looked it up. Most high schools are at 30 or 35.
Yeah.
I think 24 is too low, to be honest.
I would go 35.
I'd go 35 or 40 if I was going to do it. Yep. Because, you know, one of the arguments is, and this is, I'm a stats teacher.
Okay.
So everyone comes out and says, oh, everyone's stalling. And not it's happening. Like, hold on, it's not happening.
Not happening.
It's this little percent of people that is actually stalling. And those are the ones, it's like the bad things that happen in the news. They stick with you because someone won 12 to 10. It just doesn't happen.
I couldn't agree more.
So that's one of those arguments. I love that argument. I agree. At the end of a game, God, if we could turn it on for the end of like,
I know.
If we could just turn it on for those stretches, I would be 100% on board. We play halves in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And I was kind of neutral on halves. It is what it is. And this is leading into my next thing is, it did something for the game of basketball in Wisconsin. What it did was, as a high school coach, it forced me to play more kids.
Yes.
I had to be a college coach. Yeah. No one plays 40 minutes at the college level, even in the NCAA finals. So it forced me to play more kids, which is the reason they put the rule in.
Yep.
I missed the teaching part of the quarter when they had the break. But in the long haul, I think it's better for the game.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this. Make sure you subscribe, no matter where you listen to podcasts. Spotify, Apple. We love those Apple podcasts. And we're doing really well on those Apple podcasts. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We always ask our players to get better and work on their game. I'm challenging you to do the same thing right now and come and work on your game. And then if you're looking for some more listening stuff, don't want to pay for Audible and want to listen, we also have High School Hoops that Jake and I put on once a week. And then we have Teacher Side Gig. For all those teachers that have a side gig and trying to make ends meet, come over and listen to other teachers that have a side gig. It intrigues me. I love doing those podcasts. So, all right, let's head back to ours. Bye.
Similar to the 3-point line, I think has been better for the game. It's expanded.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. Please, if you want to help us out, you can do a couple things. You can go over and subscribe and like, leave a 5-star review. We would really appreciate that. Also, you could go over and check out teachhoops.com. You could make a commitment to yourself. Unlike a lot of the resources that are out there, and there are a lot of good ones, this is not a stagnant, you know, sit and leave it alone. I am always in the community. I'm always answering questions. I am there to help. I have been successful at the highest level you can be at the high school level.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal.
Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Play at the collegiate level, coach at the youth level. I know what you're going through. I know what that irate parent's going to say. I know how you can get that kid to get the 50-50 ball. So go over and check it out and let us know what you think. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
The lane lines, it's opened up the game. You know, I think the arc maybe in the collegiate thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure, other than what you discussed, what it really does for high school game. And here's my argument with this is, I have guys at my program that have, you know, I've had like a ton of professional players. I've had guys that you give them the ball, they're going to, they can do something with it.
Yep.
I worry, and this is my, this is one of my concerns, the shot clock is the school of 200 that barely can get 10 kids out.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden we're putting the shot clock up. What kind of shots are we going to get in the end of that? I think the basketball will get worse at some of those lower levels. That's one of my purely observational. No,
there's some validity to that, but the analogy I would give you is, for some reason, Iowa was one of the final states in girls basketball to go to five-player basketball from, yeah, from the old six-on-six. This is in 1993 for the most part in Iowa. And I was in high school during when that happened. And I can tell you, when they went from six-player, which if, for people that don't know, was essentially two separate games of three-on-three.
I know. I told my boys that, and they said, "They go, that didn't happen." I go, "What are you talking about?" I pulled up some YouTube stuff.
Tell them to get on YouTube and look at it. But it, when they went to five-player, it was ugly. It was borderline unwatchable. But it was the best thing for girls to get opportunities and to learn the game that the rest of the world was playing. And so they did go backwards in order to go forwards. And now Iowa's producing, you know, 10 to 20 Division I players per year. And you have to sometimes go backwards to go forwards.
So here's one. Here's another one of my worries about it is that the college game – now, the two that made it to the finals are outliers in the way that they play the game.
Totally.
Yeah. What my worry is everything will become similar. The game will become vanilla. That it will all be ball screens and ISOs when we get to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I think what makes, and this is me being an old fart probably, well, I think what makes high school basketball very unique in the States is there are hundreds of different styles of the game. Some people will press, some people will half court press, some people will slow it up, some people will run fast. The reason you don't see that at the collegiate level, I think one of the reasons is the shot clock. Because they almost have to get the ball up and get into their offense so quickly that they can't even do that to counter it. So what's your feeling on that?
Well, first of all, you can't call yourself an old fart because no old farts have a podcast.
okay.
Secondly, there might be some of that that goes on. The only thing is, what I would tell you is, there also the other side of it where I would play some zone as a high school coach and I'd play against really good teams and they would pass the ball 47 times and get a 12-foot baseline jumper and there's nothing I could do about it.
Right.
With a shot clock and with other rules that the colleges have, like in women's advancing the ball, with the shot clock could add 2-for-1 situations, which is a strategy you would love.
Right.
Talking about some of the X's and O's and things like that, it could become a little bit more ball screen, a little bit more isolation. There's always unintended consequences. I get that. I think that the benefits would outweigh the negatives.
So, but if you're zoning and I'm holding the ball up front, here's my argument with the people that about the stall is if you're zoning and I'm holding the ball, then you have the option to come out and defend me.
No doubt. And my zone example was not one that where somebody was holding the ball.
Right.
Play against, they would run their half court offense, but they would not settle for anything but a great shot. Right. Well, when you have a shot clock, you can play more defenses. You can throw some junk in there. You can do some different things. And now they have to shoot the ball within 35 seconds.
Right.
I totally agree with you. If you're playing zone, the other team is holding it out at half court. That's your own fault. You need to go track.
And that happens a lot in the examples that we were showing.
It happens a ton.
It does. So don't you think, first of all, I think the high school court's too small. I have a whole theory.
We're not changing that.
But we're not changing it. I'm just saying, the bodies have gotten so big and so athletic. Yeah. We almost have to make the court wider rather than, you know, it should be 94 for high school too. Maybe the shot clock would help counter that a little bit in the sense that it'll pick up the pace.
Yeah.
Because you're right, we're not going to build all these schools over and build bigger gyms.
The other thing that you'll see is that with the shot clock, you'll press. You'll add pressing. Maybe a team that presses.
You'll 2-2-1.
Kill the shot clock. And you'll see teams at the college level that press that probably shouldn't because they just want to drain the clock, shot clock. So different strategies come in. They just come in for different reasons.
Right. So what else do you have? Those are my major – what else do you have on your arguments for?
My number one reason is one that may not be applicable to you, So I apologize, but I do want to get into it because it is the number one reason, especially here in Iowa, because this is more geared towards girls basketball.
Okay.
And there is a real issue going on in high school basketball in Iowa with girls' numbers. In my opinion, having coached both boys and girls, girls aren't as willing to go out for basketball if they're not going to play.
Well, it's 100% true.
Yeah. Guys are a little bit more willing to go and wave the towel onto the end of the bench and be the guy who does all the bench cheers and all that kind of. Girls, if they're not playing, you know what? I got other things.
Right.
So one of the things that Iowa was really hurting with is numbers. And so my challenge to the Iowa administrators is we have to think creatively like the volleyball people did in the early 2000s. We need to try something new.
Right.
I think that volleyball wasn't scared to do drastic changes like the libero, rally scoring, and things like that. And the reason they did those was actually to follow college, because the colleges were going to rally scoring and they were going to the libero to create an extra participation person and to get on television. Collegiate volleyball wasn't on TV because they didn't know if the games were going to last an hour or 5 hours. And so they went to rally scoring for a more consistent time length of their match. And so the high schools looked at it and said, well, we'd be stupid not to follow suit. And so they made drastic changes. And in Iowa, I don't know about Wisconsin, but in Iowa 16 years ago, participation in volleyball took off. It took off.
It's gone. It's hurt girls' basketball. It's hurt
girls' basketball. So the old definition of insanity. We keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We got to try something different.
Well, the weird thing is your girls should go to halves, which would make them play more girls, which would be one thing. But the funny thing is the collegiate girls are in quarters.
Yeah, they are, which I was against. I was at UNI at the Division I level when they made that change, and I was against that change. And then when it happened, I loved it.
Right.
Because of the two-for-one opportunities. Now, I like the halves because I do agree with the numbers issue. The only reason I would probably vote in favor of quarters is because I don't want to go away from the rest of the universe in terms of the way they're playing basketball.
Right.
FIBA, the NBA, the WNBA, and collegiate women all use quarters.
Quarters.
I think you'll see within five years, the men's basketball at Division I and lower levels will go to quarters as well.
You think so?
I do. They're going to go that direction before the other direction comes that way.
Well, I think going back to our shot clock discussion, I would be fine either way. It doesn't really matter. I think more states until the National Association adopts it, that's been the fallback. When I was reading some articles on this in the last couple of days, the fallback from all the state associations is, well, the National Association doesn't think we should have a shot clock.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to start, you know, they tell us what kind of leggings they can wear. So why would we change, you know, we don't even get a vote anymore in Wisconsin because the association, National Association of High School Coaches or Association of whatever.
National Federation of High School Sports.
Sports, there it is. NFHS.
That is correct.
There it is. We don't get a vote anymore because we went to halves.
Yeah.
And they say quarters.
Yep.
So we don't even get a vote on any of the rules anymore as a state. So
for the people who don't know, when you're in the National Federation of High School Sports, if you make an adaptation from their rules, you lose what's called full voting rights.
Right.
And in Iowa, which is another neat thing, Iowa's the only state in the country that has separate governing bodies for both boys and girls sports. Completely separate. We're the only state in the country that does that.
Really?
So, on the boys' side, our
boys. Has it always been that way?
Yes, because they started a separate girls' union way back in the day to promote girls' sports. And so it actually makes our girls' sports awesome because they do a great job promoting them and they've just never merged. So in the boys' side in Iowa, the boys are a full voting member of the National Federation of High School Sports because they haven't made the adaptations that Wisconsin has in some other states. The girls' side, however, they're what's called an associate member. So they do not have full voting rights. So there is some talk in Iowa that maybe the girls will do the shot clock first, and then that will maybe force the boys' hand to do it because we play a lot of girl-boy doubleheaders in Iowa. And what are they going to do, turn the shot clock off for the boys' game?
Right.
So that may be a route as well. So it's very, very unique. But a lot of people don't even know that if you go against the National Federation, you lose your voting rights. But I don't even know what these people are voting on. Like, how important is that vote?
I don't know, but I think it's relatively important in the sense that they decide specific rules.
Yeah.
Like, I think the shot clock thing might be in that category.
Yeah, probably is.
And there, and the eight school, and obviously the eight states that have it, and there's some big ones. California has it. And there's little ones. Rhode Island has it. So it's not like it's in only small or only the East Coast. It's all over the country, but it's speckled like South Dakota.
And I think there's a decent chance that it won't even be left up to the states, that within the next 3 to 5 years, actually the National Federation will adopt it. And then the states will be forced to do it. Otherwise, they'll be making an adaptation. And they'll lose their voting rights. And I have a good connection with a guy who works at USA Basketball. And USA Basketball is very in favor of the shot.
Right.
They would go full FIBA rules if you let them. They're not going to go to that extreme at the National Federation level. But he thinks that USA Basketball will be able to influence the National Federation sooner rather than later to get the shot clock be a national rule.
Oh, it's coming. I think it's coming. I do think it's coming. It's just a matter of implementation, how they're going to do it.
Have you ever coached a game with a shot clock?
I have not.
I think you would love it.
First of all, half the time I put it on Twitter, I'm just trying to stir the pot. So people don't realize that. Right. Because it's literally like talking politics or really religion. Is. If you do it, it's like people just get crazy. Like crazy. I'm not like this guy that's like, so here was my issue when I fought it in Wisconsin, because I was one of the guys against it in Wisconsin. I really was. Yep. And here was the real reason I was against it. They were going to do only varsity. Only varsity. And I go, okay, so I'm only going to give the test to the kids. No, you should start it at the freshman. Mm-hmm. And then the next year do the freshman and the sophomores or freshman and JV. Then the next year you should do, I said, that's backwards, because a kid's only going to play 20 some games with a shot clock. Well, why? If we're going to do it, we need to do it at every level all the way up.
So
to teach them the proper way to use a shot clock.
Two things. One,
I don't know how other states do it, the ones that have it implemented.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they do it at all the levels.
Two things. One, I totally agree with you. I think it's ass backwards to only do it at the varsity level. The reason that my proposal would be that we only do it at the varsity level is because I think that'll be the only way it passes. I think the administrators, the superintendents and those types of people see that as a thing. And so I'm willing to do it that way because I think it's the only way it'll be implemented.
Right. And most of the time, I don't know how it works in Iowa, but most of the time before our game, at least there's a J, and it sounds like you do girls and boys back to back, but way we do it is like my varsity team, my JV team will play, which will be sophomores basically.
Yeah.
And then we play. Well, they should have – the clock's already up there. The person running the clock's there.
Use it.
Like, that's why it didn't make any sense in Wisconsin. It's like, okay, I understand maybe not freshmen, because then you have to – if you play in a different facility.
Different night.
And it's more money. Yeah. I get that. But if they're playing in the same facility, the team that plays before should actually be using it to learn it.
That is a no-brainer. I completely agree. In Iowa, it actually depends on the conference. Some conferences play girl boy, some play sophomore, JV, varsity. If it's there and they're not adding an extra expense, you turn it on. Like, it's
right. It's 20 at bucks.
At the end of the day, it's actually good for the person running it, because they're going to get more reps.
Right. In a less stressful situation, probably.
A lot less stressful.
You know, it's not a varsity game. But yeah, that was the one reason I was against it here. It's like, I know it's coming. I just know it's coming. I've been around the game long enough that I know it's coming. The issue is that why not do it at that level first and then work its way up?
I like to make a joke that, like, okay, we can always find these excuses not to do it. I can buy a Diet Coke on a vending machine from my watch, but we can't find somebody in Janesville, Wisconsin to run the shot clock. I just think we can be better.
I agree.
It's time to at least consider it. And your reasons, a lot of them are valid. Some of them I don't even have great answers for, but I love talking about it. I think we're both passionate. I think it's kind of fun.
I do too. Well, thanks for being on, Coach. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. If you did, go over and leave a 5-star review. If you didn't, turn your iPhone or whatever you're listening to the podcast off. But no, go over and check out teachhoops.com too. If you want to give back a little bit, if you want to join our community, if you want to become a better coach, if you want to find the nuances of this great game, if you want to delve into this brain of 30 plus years of coaching, go over and check it out, and we'll help you through this great journey. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.